everybody. Good morning. That's right. He's the firm foundation, the rock on which your house is built, so you don't have to worry about it falling into the ground. You don't have to worry about a sinkhole. You don't have to worry about a flood. You don't have to worry about anything when it comes to your salvation, because it was built on a firm foundation. Really wonderful song, and I heard it yesterday. I mean, I obviously know the song, but you know, there's many, many different versions of the song because it's such a popular tune that everybody sings it. And I saw these two gentlemen yesterday singing this song, and I'm like, wow, what a powerful, powerful song when these two young men were leading that choir and that worship group in that song. Ashley says, Jeremy, one day for Rise Up, we need to play worship music for like half the show. It gets me going. I was actually thinking about doing that once in a while. There's something about, I always said when I was in the music business that music is the language that everybody speaks. And I always said that it doesn't matter what language that you speak, what country you're from, I can't think of one person on planet Earth that doesn't listen to some type of music. Music is wonderful. You know, you just got to be really careful with music, because just like it can lift you up, just like music can speak to you in a way that comes from God, remember what Satan was created to do. Remember what his ability is. So just like the music, the worship music that we listen to can lift us up and bring us on new heights. Look at the music industry and how it's brainwashing and destroying and indoctrinating and in some cases taking over people's bodies. I mean, look at the movie Nefarious and you'll know what I'm talking about. So music is a very powerful, powerful blessing that we have given to us by God. And yeah, we could play worship music through the whole hour and you could get a message out of it. Somebody, everybody would get a message without even me having to talk about, having to say anything. That's a good idea. KC22 said would be a nice fill for the weekends. Just a, you know, hour or two of worship music. You just pop on Rise Up, you know you're going to hear these great songs back to back to back. That's not a bad idea, and I might actually start doing something like that once the move is done to Iowa. What a great idea. And you, Miranda says, Lucifer was in charge of worship music in heaven. Trust me, he knows it better than any of us. So he uses it because he knows we love it so much, and he knows it's so darn effective. Bumblebee Patriot said, Jeremy, I absolutely love old school rock like AC/DC, Metallica, and Ozzy. Bums me out to know that it's probably damaging to our souls. Hey, man, yesterday, what was I watching? I don't know. I think I was scrolling through social media or something, and I just happened to scroll on a video where the beginning of Enter Sandman from Metallica came on, you know, bum 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 ba da dum bum bum ba 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 na na, and I'm like, I was jamming my head because, yeah, you just gotta, the more you walk with Jesus, the more you're gonna walk away from the world, which means the more you're gonna obviously walk away from secular music. But when you're walking with Jesus and you hear those old, you know, school songs, it's not, as long as they're not devil worshiping songs, right? Nothing, no, you can't say, it doesn't mean you can't like appreciate it and bounce your head to it and like, wow, nostalgia, remember the good old days. But the difference is that you have discernment, right? So my children, I have to tell them, be careful what you read, be careful what you watch, be careful what you listen to, because garbage in, garbage out, and they don't have the ability to discern yet between what is fake, what is real, what is good, what is bad when it comes to certain things like movies, shows, and music. So that is what parents have to do. We have to make sure that we are definitely very aware of what they're doing. Jump off says, my son produces and engineers music and is supposed to be going out to LA this month to sign with an agency. So talented, but there's a lot of challenges in his industry. praying that he keeps God first. Well, that's the key right there, right? Trust me, I can tell you this. Oh, yeah, God chick, I'm a headbanger from, kind of, I was anyway. Know this, that the devil has a way of using music to get to you and you don't even know what's happening. You might think to yourself, oh, that song isn't going to make me do X, Y, and Z. Well, that's like saying that alcohol isn't going to make me do X, Y, and Z. If you have too much of it, if you put too much of your time and life into that, well, I guarantee you it's going to be garbage in, garbage out, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Christian metal. Yeah, what's that band's name that's Christian metal, Christian rock? They've been forever. Skillet, right? They're like a Christian heavy metal band, right? They've always been true to God, even in the 90s when they were big and popular. And there was no Jesus revival going on, and it wasn't popular to talk about God. Skillet was on, top Billboard number one songs. They were on secular music radio stations everywhere, and they were always a Christian band. So it does exist. We just got to make sure that we're very careful with it. So very, very good idea to have music running on the weekends. We'll definitely look into that. Folks, I titled today's show, Showing Real Leadership. Now, this is a topic that is actually talked about in my house quite a bit, because we're going to merge showing real leadership with men and women roles. Now, my oldest daughter has a big problem, and she'll never really actually tell you she has a big problem with this, my oldest daughter, my beautiful, wonderful oldest daughter. But she has a big problem with the fact that men are the head of the family. Men are the head of a lot of decision-making in families. And the hierarchy that's, God, Christ, men, women, child, pet, you know what I mean? Like, she has a very, very hard time with that. And she allows feminism to corrupt her mind in thinking that when we say stuff like that, she allows it, the world to corrupt her mind to make it sound like women can't do what men can do, and there's no place for a woman in a man's society. And it is very, very, very difficult to navigate when you're trying to explain it to young women, young men, older women, older men. It is very difficult to try to navigate that there is an order to things and there is a role for everybody, but that does not mean that that man is your tyrannical leader, or that man can do everything and you can do nothing that he can do, and that you are to listen to what he says at all times. And it's very hard to navigate for a young lady in 2024, who's my daughter, who's very strong-willed, who's very, 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 very strong-minded, and to tell her that men have roles and women have roles, and society flourishes best when you embrace and embody those characteristics and those roles. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is difficult. It is very difficult. So what I would like to do, I know Miss Kamide said, I'm very grateful for God's hierarchy, and every man and every woman and every child should be. It is the people that embrace that truth and that understanding and those duties, responsibilities, and roles that we have from God, not from the world. It's those families and those societies that flourish most. I want to go to the Lord in prayer as we are 18 minutes past the hour right now. And then I want to get in deep, very deep, to talk about this, okay, guys? Because I don't want anybody to misconstrue what the message is today, showing real leadership. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Father, today we want to really thank you and dive deep to touch on the order of creation that you have put into place. Now, we know the world is constantly trying to get rid of you, make it seem like you don't exist, and there is a 24/7, 365, day after day, year after year campaign against your order of things, your hierarchy. But we see what happens when we go outside of that, don't we? We see the calamity. We see the destruction. We see the devastation. We see the depression. We see the loneliness. We see broken and ravaged societies. Lord, today, please help me, with the help of the Holy Spirit, get this message out, especially for young women and young men growing up in a world that is teaching anything but your order and your hierarchy of creation. Very touchy subject to talk about, Lord, but please help us navigate through it correctly so that the message can be understood and that there's no gray area. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just because God says that men are the leaders of the home and that men are the head of the household and that women have a role to be submissive and not to teach and this, that, and the other does not mean that man is your boss. As a matter of fact, there's a good argument to say that if God is not your boss and tyrannical leader, if God himself, who created you, gave you free will and created you in his image, then nobody is your boss. That's not how this works. Today is Meemaw's husband's 77th birthday. She's been with him for 55 and a half years. Happy birthday, sir. And thank you for being a real Christian leader. Thank you for that. Feminism is the worst thing for women and the nuclear family in general. It's actually, and it's also from Satan. It's also from Satan. I'm going to tell you why right now. For you to think and for you to believe that the world has taught you as a woman that you are equal to men or that you are in any way, shape, or form, that is nothing but a lie to set you up to make you think that equal means that you are better or lesser. We are all equal in God's eyes. When men and women marry, they become one. So how can one be better than the other? That's my question. When men and women marry, they become one. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and into your heart and walk with him, you abide in him and he abides in you. We talked about that yesterday. If you abide in something and dwell in something and something dwells in you, you are what? You are one. So how can that possibly mean that one is better than the other? When we say in a spiritual way that men and women are not equal, we are not in any way, shape, or form saying that on earth we are not equal or we are better than or you are lesser than. We're not saying that. But Satan's lies and his deception and his 24/7 campaign of feminism has made women believe that when the Bible says men and women are not equal, that that means that men and women are not, one must be lesser and one must be greater. And in a certain sense, we are. But as a respect level, as one, we are not. There's no greater or lesser. The reason why the Bible says that men and women are not equal is because equal means we are different. We are not the same. We're not the same. It doesn't mean one's better or one's worse. It means we are not the same. Do you know how easy it is to tell the difference between a man and a woman? even today in 2024, it's pretty simple, right? We are not the same. So in that sense, we are not equal. Eli, 2 plus 2 equals 4. So that means that 4 is the same as 2 plus 2. But yet they are different, aren't they? A 2 does not look like a 4, right? The number 2 has a different value than the number 4. So you can do different things, or I should say, you know, even like 2 and 5. They're two different things. They're numbers. They're still there. They're still, you can still use them together and put them together, but equal is, does not mean, or equal means that we are the same. We are not the same. We are different. So that means we have different duties. We have different responsibilities. We have different decisions that we have to make. And you as a woman can't do the same as I can do in that regard. And I as a man cannot do the same as you can do as a woman in that regard. But when we are one, we can do what both of us can do together. And that is why they say that a strong Christian family nucleus cannot be stopped. And a man and a woman on the same page, it, under God, with Jesus in their life, is the most unstoppable force on earth, period. What do they say? Behind every great man is a greater woman, right? It is statistically proven that when a man comes to Christ, his family comes to Christ. When a woman comes to Christ, very few families follow her. Why? Does that say that a man is better than a woman? Does that say that a man is better because he followed Christ than a woman who follows Christ? No, not at all. When a man decides that he's going to give his life to Jesus, over 90% of families follow the man's footsteps. When a woman, a mom, a wife, decides that she is going to follow Jesus, only 20% of the families follow her. Why is that? That's a statistic. That's a real statistic. Why is that? And it has nothing to do with that man being better than that woman. It's natural creation. It is a natural role that men have. And the reason why we have a weak society today is because men have given up on leading. Period. Men have given up in this country on leading. They don't want to lead anymore. And part of the reason that they don't want to lead is because they don't want to be called a bigot. They don't know how to lead in Christ. And they try to lead like, I'm the man, listen to what I say. That's not leadership. A man without God, without respect, without Christ, cannot lead. Not effectively. Because nobody will follow him. He becomes a manager rather than a leader. A manager yells at the people on what yells at the employees on what they should do, tells the employees what they should do. A leader rolls up his sleeves and gets in there and works with the employees. That's the difference. So, at one time in my life, I would say, it's my house, I'm the man of the house, and you're all going to listen to what I say because I said so. That's why. Period. It's not the way things work, folks. That's not leadership. That's poor management. Leadership looks a little bit more like this. Guys, I know everybody has their own opinion about this. I do. And I understand that some of you might not think this way and some of you might think that way. And I understand that each of you have skin in the game. And I understand that this bothers some of you more than it does others. I also understand that you have your own life that you have to worry about and your own person that you have to worry about. But as the head of this family, as the head of this household, I'm telling you that I have thought this through. And I believe with much prayer to God and with Jesus that this is the best decision for our family. And I think that if you would just open up your eyes and heart for a minute to what I'm saying, you would understand why I say this way. But we are moving in this direction because I firmly believe after much prayer and thought that it's best for you. That's leadership. And you should be having that conversation before you say that to the family with your wives. Because decision-making needs to be made together. Ultimately, the man is the spokesperson for the family. The man is the representative of the family. The man is the family's ambassador. But the man makes the decisions with the wife. He doesn't say, this is what's happening because I said so. That's the difference between poor management and real leadership. What I'm talking about to save society, to save our country, is real leadership. Men embracing the role under God, letting God guide them in their decision making, and then making it very clear what the decision is and why. And also making it very clear that he understands who this affects and why. That's leadership. That's hard to do, especially when you have this puffed up chest of I'm the man and I can beat you into submission. There, are we equal now? That's not what we're talking about. Now that's a man's role in his household, right? The woman runs the house. Men are the representatives, the protectors, the providers, the ambassadors, the fighters, the ones who speak when things need to be spoken at a high level. Women run the show. And any man out there that's married to a good Christian wife knows that he better make sure that those shoes are off when he walks in that house. He better make sure that that toilet seat is put down when he's done going to the bathroom. He better make sure that he cleans up his own mess and doesn't leave piles of his own clothes for months on end. That's what a man knows. My wife is in charge of that home. Those children know when something needs to be done, they ask mom. Those children know when they need to get something for school or something for their life or they need to go somewhere, guess who they go to? Mom. Do you want to know why? Because dad just can't do it. It's just not our thing. We are nowhere near as good as our wives in that respect. Nowhere near. And I'm not talking housework. I'm talking about running the show. We have different roles. But when we combine those roles under God, and I am the real man, Christian God, fearing man who understands leadership, I am the leader of this troop. But I could not do any of my leading without this warrior right next to me, my wife. If families could get that down, folks, we would save this society in no time. We would save this world in no time. Don't need mama bears protecting the children if men are doing their jobs and protecting the whole group. Bad Moon, you are darn right. You are darn right, my friend. Women are like the head of the operation. It sure is. But we do have different roles. Now, I want to read some stuff here for you, if you guys don't mind. Thank you, God Chick. I appreciate that. And by the way, this is stuff that I've learned. This is stuff that I've learned through my marriage, through my being a leader. And becoming a better husband. I used to be what I'm telling you not to be. All women, also, let your men be leaders. Remember yesterday when I told you that your purpose in life is to let God love you? Let God love you by doing, by showing these great things that you love Him. Let Him love you. Well, women, let your men be leaders. Let your husbands lead. Don't shout them down. Don't emasculate them. Don't ignore them. Men do have feelings too, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen. Wives, talk to your husbands once in a while. Tell them how grateful you are that they're a leader in your life. Show them. If you don't feel like your husband leads the way that I'm talking about right now, it doesn't mean that he's not capable of it. Maybe he doesn't know that you want him to. Because I know that's a big problem in a lot of people's lives too. Right? You know how, and I don't mean to compare women and children. I'm not saying that you're children. I'm just making an analogy here. You know how children do best when they know that there's discipline? When children know that there's going to be consequences for their actions, when children know that they're not just going to be able to say anything willy-nilly whenever they want without dad walking in that room and going, excuse me, or mom walking in that room. When children have discipline, they love it. They thrive. They flourish. Same thing with being a wife. When you let your husband lead and don't take that leadership from him just because you run the show at home, and you don't start acting like what I say goes. If mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Happy wife, happy life. Get rid of that thought process whatsoever, because a lot of men just won't. They don't even know if they could even be a leader because you have treated them like that. MDUSMC said, wait till your dad gets home. That's the kind of household we should all have. Wait till your dad gets home. All right. When men go to church, when men love their wives, when men cherish their wives, when men love their children, and when men disciple those same children, households and societies as a whole flourish. Look up the definition of the word flourish. And that's what happens when men do all of those things. Read their Bibles, go to church, love their wives, cherish their wives, love their children, disciple their children. When men do those things, households and societies flourish. That's leading. When men ignore their Bibles, when men don't go to church, when men abuse their wives physically or verbally or mentally, and when men ignore and abuse their children, when men cannot keep it in their pants and control their sexuality and their sexually immoral thoughts, societies are ravaged and crumble. Eileen says flourish equals healthy and thrive. So, when you hear me angrily talk about the LGBTQIA pedo plus community, ravaging our communities. Everybody thinks that I am spreading hate on the person that is doing the atrocity. But the reason why I focus so heavy on LGBTQ is because A, it's sexually immoral at the heart of it. B, it's full of pride, feminism, and lost men, lost boys, lost souls. C, it's public, and they want everybody to know about it. And D, they push it on children. So that sexual immorality and that sexuality that you want to perverse so badly is ravaging communities. But it's not only that. Like I said, men who ignore going to church, don't go, ignore their Bibles, abuse their wives, ignore their children, all of that as well ravages societies. It does not thrive. Does anybody want to look up the definition of ravage? Because there's two different ways we can go here, folks. We can flourish or we can be ravaged. Which one would you like? Would you like to be healthy and to thrive and to grow and to experience and to love and to joy? Or would you rather be ravaged, destroyed, crumbled? CQ says that her husband and her have their Bible open to Psalms 91 in their room right now. Wonderful. My Rock and Salvation said, when men do those things, women are drawn to them and desire to give them the respect and leadership that they deserve. Again, that's right. You have to be deserving of that as well. I pray for our men to stand up and become men of God. I recall men's ministry group, Promise Keepers. We have a men's prayer group at our church on Saturdays. A little early, but we do have one. And we also have a women's as well. A women's as well. So the question is, would you rather thrive or would you rather live in a society and a household that is absolutely ravaged? Eileen, ravage, causing severe and extensive damage. What sounds better to you? And statistically proven, we know the Bible's given us a guide, but statistically proven, we've been, you know, collecting analytics on statistics for centuries. We know that the things that I said, when men read their Bibles, go to church, love their wives, cherish their wives, love their children, and disciple their children, households and communities flourish. When men ignore their Bibles, don't go to church, abuse their wives, and ignore their children, and can't keep it in their pants and want sexual immorality and pride, societies and homes are absolutely ravaged, destroyed beyond all repair. Men make decisions daily with their sexuality, with their money, with their jobs, with their careers, with their time. And all of these decisions that men make daily have consequences. Every decision. And many times, your decisions about your time, your money, your job, your career, your sexuality punishes your family first, your neighbors second, and your community third. Well, actually, God first and foremost, but you get what I'm saying. So you can make these decisions. You can choose to do all of the latter of the things that I said that cause ravaged societies. But each decision that you make with your money, with your time, with your words, with your love, with your job, they're going to have consequences. And unfortunately, in the United States of America today, more households are being punished by men's decisions in the household. You are the head of the household, men. Your families are going to suffer from your decisions. Not that they wouldn't from a woman's decisions too, but we're talking about leadership today, real leadership, and why this world looks the way it does today. Again, ladies and gentlemen, to bring this all home again, when men read their Bibles and go to church, their families come with them. When men flip off God, their families do the same. What kind of a man are you? Or ladies, what kind of a man do you have in your home? What kind of a father do you have? It's never too late. It's never too late for a man to embrace his God-given created role and its responsibility and duty to be a leader. Because I'll tell you what, when you have God dwelling in you and you dwelling in God, you're not afraid to be a leader because you know that you're not going to have it come off as any other way. You know that you're not going to have it come off as you're a tyrannical, controlling, psychotic freak. When you're doing it for the right reasons, your wives, your children, your families, they will look to you in an entirely different light. You will see that they'll start doing things that they never did before that you asked them to do. When you show real leadership. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. You guys know that a lot of my messages that I give daily come from my own life experiences, right? I mean, it's the best way to do this is to bring your own. I mean, this is my walk with Jesus. So if I'm talking about something, clearly something happened, right? And there's a lot of lingering strife in my home because of decisions that some people made in my home. And those decisions drove wedges in between people's relationships inside our home. And because of the decisions that some of our children made over the last few months, and our decisions and our reactions to their decisions, we've driven a wedge in between. We've divided relationships in our home. Now, while it took its toll on me for a while, I'm actually smiling about it today. I actually walked out of the house this morning with tears in my eyes and a smile on my face. Tears in my eyes for how hard it is to be a leader and a father in a home of five children in New Hampshire in 2024, but a smile on my face because God's bringing me through it. I really did. I'm not lying. That's 100% God's honest truth. I walked out of my house this morning, tears in my eyes and a smile on my face, because God is bringing me through this as a leader and testing my leadership skills at the same time is bringing them through their journeys in their lives. And this past Sunday, my oldest daughter and my wife have a lot of division between the two of them right now. And you can understand why, because when a child brings potential danger and risk to your home in a very high level and more than once, and that risk means it could have potential risks to our family, but our 6-year-old daughter, my wife goes into protective mode. And she just cannot believe how our daughter could have done what she's done. Now, it's my daughter and my wife's stepdaughter. So there is, you know how that goes, right? There's a level of, you get to a point where in a family, when calamity strikes, there can be a point where you say to your stepchild, and I've said it to her children as my stepchildren, you're bringing this on my kids, and you maybe unknowingly separate the children as, oh, now you just made it known that I'm your stepkid, and you did it angrily, which makes me think that you love your kids more than you love me. So my daughter and my wife are very divided at the moment because of what my daughter did and because of what my wife says. Now here I am. It's my daughter. It's my wife. It's my family. I'm the head of the household. I am the leader. I need to get involved. Uh-oh. So that's what I did. On Sunday. I didn't know any other way. I didn't want to yell at either one of them. I didn't want to tell either one of them that they were, you know, acting stupid or that it was either one of theirs fault. How do you navigate that? And I had to. And I had to stand in the middle of them. And I had to, with respect, from a leadership point of view, from the head of the household and from a God, that is centered in God, I had to stand up, step up, and tell them both how destructive they were being to each other and how that's spilling over on the family and how that's going to affect all of us from here on out. And I have to tell you something. I have to admit something to you guys. Are you ready? That was the first time in my life as a father and a husband that I embodied godly leadership in a respectful way without screaming and without accusing either of them. It was the first time I'd ever done it that way. In 10 minutes, they were hugging, apologized to each other, and tears were flowing. I realized with real leadership centered in God, things flourish. Things are not ravaged. Things were ravaged when Satan was sitting there laughing, causing the division. Satan was screaming in agony when I did not give in and I called on Jesus to come with me. Satan said, "You in whose army?" I said, "Me and Jesus. That's all." Let me tell you something. They were apologizing and hugging each other within about 10 to 15 minutes. Now, I don't know exactly what I said. I don't. But it was the first time that I brought God into a mediating situation and embodied real leadership as a father and as a husband without disrespecting either of them because it's nobody's fault. Things happened. We're here now. You can't fix what happened with hate. You can't fix a bad situation, but you can't put out a fire by dumping gas on it. What are we doing here, you guys? We can't progress. We can't move forward unless we stitch up. We cannot do the surgery and make it better unless we stop the bleeding. Can we stop the bleeding at least? Can we come at this from a place of understanding and reality here and not of pride? You in whose army, he said. Just him. It's all I need. Just Jesus. So, as I was thinking about this today, coming to work, I had tears in my eyes, but a huge grin from ear to ear, smile on my face. And I always, in my entire life, embodied the leadership role and the head of household role like this. This is how I would have done this a couple years ago, or even a year ago. That's enough. Both of you, shut your mouths right now. Everybody else, go to your rooms and get out of my face. Stop being nosy. And both of you are going to shut your mouths right now, or I'm going to blow this entire spot up, and nobody's going to be happy. I'm the man. Listen to what I say. That's how it would have happened without Jesus. That's not how it happened on Sunday. Show real leadership, men. I want to read the verse of the day since we got all this way and we didn't even read the verse of the day. And the verse of the day, I have two of them for you because I don't want to be misconstrued in any way, shape, or form. First Corinthians 11:3. 1 Corinthians 11:3. W. Wilson says, I respectfully disagree. Never make your wife equal ground with your kids. I didn't do that. Didn't do that at all. Not even close. I think you took that the wrong way. I didn't make them equal. I actually separated the two of them in their roles while I was being the leader. Since I didn't tell you everything that I said, that's an assumption. So hard to respectfully disagree with something that you don't even know what was said. Because I did exactly that. I separated their two roles in my involvement and said, Shaylin, she is your mother or the equivalent of. And you will respect her and what she says, and you will allow her to let her frustration come out because you put her family in jeopardy. And I agree with everything she says. We didn't make them equal in our roles, but we made them equal as I am in a family to get through our problems. So I'm sorry I didn't elaborate on that a little bit. It probably would have made it a lot better. So 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every wife is her husband, and the head of every Christ or and the head of Christ is God. I want you to think of your family. I know Wanda, I'm sorry. I want you to think of your family as the Trinity: God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, all one, but there is a hierarchy: God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. There is a hierarchy, but they are one. Same thing with a family. Same thing with a family. And that's what 1 Corinthians there is telling us. Again, Christ and God isn't my tyrannical boss. I want to please them because it makes me feel wonderful and joyful. But here's the second verse I want to give you. 1 Peter 3:7, just so we can make sure that what I'm saying is understood. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Men, if you are not treating your women the way that Christ wants you to, your prayers are right now or will be hindered. So just because you are the head doesn't mean you are the boss. There's a difference between a manager and a leader. And what I say is, be a leader today. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for our Live from America. Live from America. Rise Up on the Live from America Network. And I hope today's message helped you in some way, shape, or form. I know it always does me. And when we finish off these great messages with powerful worship music, we just bring it all home. I love you guys. God bless you. And remember, be a leader, not a manager. Embrace your roles and flourish. God bless you guys. Mike Crispy comes up next. See you later.